reading from the Bhakti, Narada Bhakti Sutras, text 37. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Loketi Bhagavat Guna Shravana Kirtana. One achieves bhakti by hearing and chanting about the Lord's special qualities. Even while engaged in the ordinary activities of life in this world. Purport. I'm going to read halfway through the purport because the last time I read the purport halfway. So let me finish it. No one can honestly say he has absolutely no time to devote to Shravanam Kirtanam. Even the busiest people find time daily to go through newspapers and magazines, and almost everyone finds some time for television as well as for idle talk. Much of this time could be spared for bhakti yoga. And even while we are working at the office or factory, if we are donating a portion of our earnings to Krishna, we may think, Krishna has assigned me this particular duty. If despite his best efforts, a devotee finds his social and occupational duties overwhelming, he should consider living in a different way. One should avoid ugra karma, work that completely saps one of all higher energy and pious inclinations. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Muni advises Maharaj Yudhisthira that one should work, quote, to earn his livelihood as much as necessary, to maintain body and soul together. Quote, an intelligent man in human society should make his program of activities very simple. Bhagavatam 7:14, 5-6. Srila Prabhupada, who worked for many years as a Krishna conscious businessman, addressed the problems realistically. He said that there was no question of stopping all activities, just as there is no question of wiping out one's temperature altogether when trying to recover from a fever. If one has a fever of 105 Fahrenheit, one should carefully decrease it to the normal temperature, 98.6, and maintain it there. Srila Prabhupada writes, quote, the great sages and saints of India wanted to maintain the normal temperature by a balanced program of material and spiritual knowledge. They never allowed the misuse of human intelligence for disease, sense gratification. Isha Upanishads 1, purport. Most people give the highest priority to economic development and sense gratification, relegating religion to a support activity. But actually, religion, self-realization should come first. Economic development is required only to maintain the body in a sound, healthy condition. Understanding the awkward position of people in Kali Yuga, the Supreme Lord has given us the chanting of the holy names as the Yuga Dharma, the religion of the age. Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting of the holy names of the Lord. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. Brihat Naradiya Purana. Srila Prabhupada formed the International Society for Krishna Consciousness on the basis of the Yuga Dharma and Narada Muni's instruction in this sutra. Throughout the world, many of Prabhupada's followers chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra daily, attend a morning and evening program of kirtan and scriptural discourse, and follow the four regulative prohibitive sinful life, even while pursuing active professional careers. Lord Krishna has personally promised Narada Muni that whoever chants his glories will attain the Lord's mercy, despite social or occupational status. Naham tishtami vaikunte yoginam hridaye shuva yatra gayanti madbhakta tatta tishtami Narada. My dear Narada, I do not dwell in Vaikuntha or in the hearts of the yogis, wherever my devotees sing my glories, Padma Purana. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Taksurunmulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishnam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Tapadantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyashta Kripashindu Bhayebhacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasade Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Greetings from Sridham Mayapur. Settling in here, I remember some of you were on the Sangha on Sunday. I had left on that Sunday at 3 o'clock in the morning from Delhi. Anyway, got up at 3 and went to the airport. And by the time I was giving the class at night, honestly, I was falling asleep and trying to talk at the same time. But now here, it's the morning. And that's like in India, it's always easy to give classes in the morning. So in India, the Wednesday class is in the morning for me, and the Sunday class is in the evening. I'm giving class here every day, and it's an amazing turnout. We're getting 80 people every evening without any, just word of mouth. Nice hall, and it's packed, and it's really some nice classes and exchanges going on. One second. And when I came, the day after I came, and one of the reasons I came early is that Janava and Hillary is a regular Sangha listener. Perhaps she's even listening today, I don't know. But they had the premiere of their film, Women in Bhakti, which I guess they'll be traveling around America and showing it different places. And it was extremely impressive. I was so happy to see the work, the hard work that they have done. And I came with my friend Vasudev, who's an award-winning filmmaker, and he's working on a film I'm producing on Govardhan. And he was astounded at the quality of the film, the technically, and how it was put together. And if it shows in America, if you see it, you really enjoy it. And enjoy it just from the aesthetic and the sense and the what's being presented, very beautifully done. But the impact it will have to share the very important message of the universality of bhakti, that's one of the key points of Abhideya Tattva. One of the most important points of understanding the means of realizing the absolute reality, which is bhakti, is sarvada, sarvatra, that it's applicable in all circumstances. So sometimes our movement is renunciate laden. Renunciate laden means male renunciate laden, and it obscures really the universality of our process. Bhakti is not even about renunciation, it's about dedication. From wherever you are and whatever situation you are, you give yourself to Krishna. And if someone's more renounced but he's not giving himself to Krishna, he's not more renounced than someone who is attached to certain things and trying to give everything to Krishna. That's really what bhakti is, and bhakti is about that, and bhakti is about deep humility in the heart. The dependence on God, our efforts, we're going to discuss about this today, our efforts in bhakti, we endeavor out of humility. We endeavor because we need the mercy of God, and that has to be the core of our sadhana. Otherwise, if the effort is there and it comes from the false ego that I am going to capture or control by my abilities, you won't be successful in bhakti. This is one of the key points that's going to be brought up and we're going to discuss today. You know, why mercy is the only means, or why mercy is the means. It means because the ahankar, the concept, I am the doer, is not the concept or the effort on the part of doership is just not alone. The consciousness itself will prevent you from becoming successful in bhakti. So there has to be it's mercy. It's something that it's given in relationship to love. It's something that's given when it is inspired. It's got to come from above when the above is inspired. And if the above is not inspired to give it to you, you cannot have it, because it's so far above us. We're just trying to shine a little light in our soul of humility to attract that mercy. But only when God sees us, not when we see God, when God sees us. And when does God see us? When we're begging for his mercy. And Bhori Jampu made a very brilliant point, as he usually does in one of his classes that I attended recently. He said that we're very small people, but if we have a big conception of ourselves, how will Krishna notice us when there are so many humble souls begging for his mercy? Who will Krishna be attracted to? And who will he help? He'll help everyone, but he helps those who help themselves. Ultimately, it has to also... the consciousness has to come from us. The inspiration will come from Krishna. Now, in the section we're discussing, remember they discussed that bhakti was superior in relationship to other paths, and I don't have to go over that again. If you want to do that, you can listen to the tapes. Now Narada has gotten into the discussion of how to attain bhakti. And he first discussed this very, very important point in two ways. And really, the core of bhakti is your heart. That's the core. So what is in your heart, and how does it get there? It comes from sangha. It comes from opening your heart to something due to your appreciation of it, whether it is a person or a thing. It comes from sangha. Your heart is made of who you associate with. One second. Your heart is made of who you associate with. So this is the focal point of bhakti. So kind of the really what bhakti is first is changing your association, changing the intimacy of and the quality of who you associate with. Because that will come to you. Therefore, satsang tyag, a Vaishnava achar. Vaishnava behavior means that you give up a satsang. Those things and those people that project, represent, and embody and influence you that I am the enjoyer. And therefore, bhakti means constant bhajan. And what is constant bhajan? It is the association with objects and acts of devotion always. That's how we change our consciousness. Specifically, the object of God in the form of the holy name. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajitam priti purvakam tadami buddhiyogam tvam yena. To those who are devoted and worship me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. I give them the understanding. That's bhakti. We focus our mind. Mayasakta manoparta yogam yunjam marasya asamsayam yathayat. Just think of me, attached to me. You think of God, then the attachment comes. And then you come to Krishna, because that's what bhakti is. It's attachment. It's attachment for God, and it's attachment for who you are as a servant of God. That's bhakti. So the great teachers, when they talk about the means, they talk about sangha. Sangha is everything in bhakti. So throughout the shastras, it talks about, really, if you want to achieve perfection, Tasmat, therefore, you have to chant, hear, and remember Krishna always. We have to come to that point. And that's our challenge. And one who is advanced in Krishna consciousness is doing that always because they're attached to Krishna. And they're attached to Krishna because they're doing that always. Kirtaniya Sada Hari, Kirtaniya Sada Hari, Kirtaniya Sada Hari. Always. Kirtan. I once went to take darshan of Prabhupada's godbrother, Bhakti Vaibhav Puri Maharaj. Bhakti Vaibhav Puri Maharaj. And I guess he was enlivened from his morning bhajan. And when we came in, you know, he just said, Kirtaniya Sada Hari, Kirtaniya Sada, always do kirtan, always do kirtan. Oh, satatam kirtiyanto mam, yatantas chajridha brita, satatam kirtiyanto mam. What is this chapter shloki Bhagavad Gita? Some new technology here I'm trying to figure out. Let me just try something. Anyway, I tried to figure out it didn't work. So here in text 35, they talked about, you know, keeping a bad association is bhakti, and then 36, by good association, that is bhakti. But now the verse we talk today, but what to do if, as it says in today's verse, loke, what to do when you're in the world? Loke, in the world. Even in the world, you can become Krishna conscious by chanting and hearing about the Lord somehow. And of course, you know, in the purport, this is Satrup Marja's purport, was he's representing Prabhupada and doing a great job at that in these purports. You know, he says people could say, well, we have no time. I remember I went to one student and they had given up chanting. I said, look, at least chant, you know, 4 rounds, you know, start again. And they were kind of honest. They looked at me, hey, that's nothing. That's half a sitcom. it's a half-hour sitcom. It's not time. It's really taste. And he says, idle talk. And what to speak of internet, you know, Facebook, how much time people spend. He talked about, you know, work and trying to give a portion of one's earnings. But then the point was, despite the effort, the devotee finds his social and occupational duties overwhelming. He should consider living in a different way. May not be able to, and then your Krishna consciousness becomes expecting the Lord's mercy, just saying it's an unfortunate situation. And bowing one's head and thanking God for purifying him. But I was just thinking that the way the world and the economic situation is going, you know, people are going to find themselves more and more overwhelmed with social and occupational duties, and people are going to have to more and more consider changing their lifestyle so that they can live in a way. And, you know, Prabhupada was very, very cognizant of that. You know, when he was really wanted to start Krishna conscious communities with a rural type basis, he was thinking of that. You know, he's thinking of that, an economic system that gave people time for that type of association, a community. And that's why people move to Krishna conscious communities, and many people, you know, said, hey, I can't make it here, let me try there. That's the glory of Vrindavan. I'm in Mayapur now, it's the glory of Mayapur. You know, you're just confronted constantly with objects of devotion, pilgrims and devotees. And it just has an effect on your consciousness, because objects do have effect, subtly and grossly, overtly, inadvertently. They have an effect on consciousness. So the problem with the farm communities is people's conditioning on what is opulence. We have such a technological conditioning of what is opulence, rather than seeing opulence in terms of devotee neighbors, devotee community, fresh food, access to a temple, etc. Like anything else, we're attached in many ways, all of us, to sense gratification. Yehi sam sparsha bhoga dukkha yoneya evateya yanta vanta kumpaya satasya. Nateshu lamate. It doesn't give pleasure, but we're attached to things. Because pleasure is a condition of the mind, not a condition of the senses. And when the pleasure of the senses is connected with a condition, with the corresponding elevation of the mind, then that sense gratification is helpful. You know, we get what we need because of the mind. It becomes helpful. So Prabhupada, he was such a visionary, he sometimes wondered, how did he figure everything out? And I remember I was with Raghunath, and we were talking to one Indian family. We were thinking of maybe starting some kind of retreat or something. And Raghunath's a preacher, and he made an impassioned plea. He said Prabhupada was at the cutting edge of everything, of Indian spirituality, of kirtan, of change in diet, of, you know, simple living, well, all the things. And he said, basically what's happened is we haven't taken up Prabhupada's legacy, and it's been appropriated by everyone else. Raghunath was preaching, let's again take up Prabhupada's legacy. It's amazing what people with faith can do. You know, I have a friend in Vrindavan. It's kind of interesting because he was born in the same day as me, the same place, the same day, the same year, the same longitude, and a few hours different. Anyway, somehow he's in Vrindavan. And it's only 10 minutes from the temple, but he bought this farm years ago, about an acre, and developed it. And he had a lot of good sangha in his life. He was dedicating himself to Prabhupada's mission. He distributed Prabhupada's books. He was 2 or 3 years the personal secretary of Prabhupada's godbrother, Bhakti Rakshaka Sridhar Maharaj, a very elevated soul. And, you know, he read Prabhupada's books, and he had faith. If you take care of the cows properly, there will be auspiciousness, because God will be pleased. And he performed the sacrifice of living simply to do that. And I watched how well he took care of those cows and what sacrifice he made to do so. And, you know, Vrindavan is rapidly being urbanized. There was a 5-acre plot of land next to him. And that's $5 million if you want to buy the land now. That's what prices are like, Vrindavan. But somehow or other, I mean, just by serving the cows, really, these arrangements are being made to give that land and to try to demonstrate, because anybody who comes to the temple can see it, to try to demonstrate what real opulence is. Real opulence is the land, not money. Money has no intrinsic value. It has a mental value. There's land, cows, trees, flowers, fruits, vegetables. Sometimes, you know, when I take a walk in Vrindavan, I have this beautiful walk into the forest, and there's this one hermitage of this kind of simple and saintly grihastha and his family. It's like a forest hermitage. And they have some flower gardens. And they wake up in the morning and they just pick flowers and they make them into garlands. And then they walk 10, 15 minutes to different temples and they sell their flowers. And, you know, I come there, and anytime I come there with a group, I give them a couple of 100 rupees, you know, a couple of bucks, really. And they're just overwhelmed with joy. And they're so hospitable. But in the morning, you know, they make these fresh rotis out of fresh grind wheat. And it's the most tasty thing in the world. So I was just thinking, yeah, that's opulence. Rich people can't eat like them. It's a different standard of opulence. But anyway, the point is, we have to be careful of our sangha, and we have to be careful of the situations we're in relationship to the facilities it gives us for sangha. We have to be very, very careful. And we have to think, can we change our situation, or how can we get better sangha within our situation? So that was verse 36. Now was at, what is it? Now, 38. So after describing the means, then he says, Mukyatas tu mahat kripayaiva bhagavad kripalishadva. Primarily, however, one develops bhakti by the mercy of great souls, or a small drop of the Lord's mercy. Basically saying, endeavor is not enough. What we have is with someone else. It can't come by a product of our strength or intellect. It really, really has to be given. We really have to win the heart of great souls and somehow or other have what's in their hearts come to us. Again, I've taken some notes which I think are relevant sometimes to share with you. Prabhu made a point. I forgot what he was lecturing on. He said, if you deal with an exalted person in a way that their heart melts, everything will come out. You get mercy by service, by taking another person's desire as yours out of love for them, and taking the pure desire of a soul as yours as love for them. And if that person's heart melts because he's a person by that service, then everything comes out. So, mercy. The grandeur of our task of self-realization is too far beyond our capacity to achieve it. And therefore, something above has to give us strength. Srinvata Swakata Krishna Punya Shavana Kirtana Hijantasto Yubhadvani Vidinoti Sarit Satam. Sarit Satam. Krishna is Sarit Satam. He is close at heart to the devotee. Sarit Satam. He gives. Tadami Bhuti Yogam Tvam. He gives. He gives. How do we get? It's not within our hands. It's attracting that. It's not creating that. Vina Naiva Shritam Taranti. Without the blessings of Hari, one cannot stop the continuous chain of birth and death. All paths need blessing. And bhakti is the process that can invoke blessings. It's relationship. We have to become loving, and we have to develop a relationship. And developing a relationship means we have to learn to think of others rather than being self-absorbed in our own needs. Not that we don't have needs, but they must be connected to Krishna. This is the secret of bhakti. The secret of bhakti is you can take anything as long as you can connect it to Krishna. So you have a desire, a need, can you connect it to Krishna? Well, I need that to be stable. Okay, connect it to Krishna. But really, ultimate love entails thinking of others and thinking of your beloved. These are more notes from Voyager. Relationships work when one focuses not on what one should be doing in relationships. When one focuses on what one should be doing in relationships rather than what the other person should be doing. This disease of self-centeredness and egotism, it ruins love. For others, it ruins it for God. So real devotee, he shifts that orientation. He shifts it in relationship to Guru, who's representative of Krishna. He shifts it in relationship to the Vaishnavas, who are representative of Krishna. He shifts it in relation to his relationships. What has someone said about marriage? Why it can be healthy, spiritual life? Because all of a sudden you're in a situation where you have to understand that everything is not about you. Which is consciousness is easy to get into in the modern world, where people kind of live alone because they want to control their world for them. Now, if you want to stay alone because you want to live your life for God, and you have the capacity to do so, that is wonderful. But if one wants to live alone because one doesn't want to have a life that's not just about them, well, we are part of God, so our life is not just about us. What we are is in relationship. And without that relationship, we really have no meaning or value. Anyway, it's by mercy, not our endeavor. It's by mercy. Okay, I'm going to stop here for questions. Are there any questions? Would any of my students or friends like to say hello?
One friend here, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
I will, yeah.
Oh, a student, I'm sorry.
What's that?
I was correcting myself. I was saying student, not friend, or both.
Yeah, I think there's elements of both. Okay, well, thank you, Gail, for coming on. Yeah, I appreciate so much. Here in Mayapur, it's really so nice. Where I'm living, I just go upstairs. There's a beautiful hall set up. I sit down. So many eager people to hear. And you know, even some god brothers are there. And what happens is now, you know, people are hearing from me for years. So it just grows because people, you know, really want to hear that. I mean, people in Mayapur are very sincere. And, yeah. Okay, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for class tonight.
Thank you, Amiya, for your regular program there, in your place there. That's great. Yeah, Amiya, you'll really, really be happy when you see this film. You know.
Yes, I think so. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, when it comes to, and you, you know, you hosted them, I think. So nice.
I hope so. We had a good time.
Yeah. Good. Anyone else like to say hello?
Hare Bol Maharaj.
Who's that?
It's Kim and Parmananda.
Kim. Hey, Hare Krishna. Greetings from Mayapur.
Oh, you're in Mayapur. That's amazing.
It is amazing, and one day you will also visit here.
I can't wait.
It's really nice. When I came, I bathed in the, you know, the Ganga.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of friends here. I mean, the person who's in charge of the samadhi, he's like an amazing person. I mean, the capacity he has for work to put up this. It's not the samadhi, to put up the new temple. His name is Sadhguruji. And he's so confident, but he's such a humble guy. Anyway, I have so many friends here, and just all, you know, and Yugal and Jagadish, who really host me here. They cook nicely for lunch every day. I invite a different godbrother or friend. So any of you come at this time, sometime it'll be nice. Good. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we can enter now. One should call Dr. Lucas Yaka, because it would be a joke.